The following program is a classic from the Compassion Radio Archives.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is power. It's power that changes things, including the lives of the people who embrace it. The gospel is power that makes all things new.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Welcome to this edition of Compassion Radio. We're the daily journal of God's amazing work all around the world, where lives are changed by the transforming power of the gospel. There's no milquetoast, easy-living Christianity here. If you want to experience the adventure of a living faith and a challenging life, then stick with us. Here's Norm.
It's a good thing for us to be reminded from time to time of how powerful the gospel of Jesus Christ really is. You know, it's possible for those of us who live quiet lives of relative peace and comfort in the suburbs of the United States to slip into a frame of mind that sees the gospel as a kind of harmless, domesticated tranquilizer. But believe me, my friend, in the tough countries where my wife Sharon and I minister, and in the tough neighborhoods of our inner cities here in America, the gospel shows itself to be a radical, powerful force that revolutionizes the lives and the institutions that are confronted by it. Now, on today's program, you're going to meet a man whose life as a drug runner and a gang member was radically transformed by the gospel. He used to carry guns, but today, after meeting Jesus Christ, he carries a Bible. His story, by the way, is told in the book Divine Appointments, and it's written by Bob and Matthew Jacks, and it's published by Nav Press. Well, I want you to meet Brian Marcoux, who's speaking with us by telephone from his home in North Carolina. Now, as you might imagine, he's a plain-speaking guy. Let's meet him. Hello, Brian. Welcome to Compassion Radio.
Good to be here, Norman.
Brian, I'm thinking right now about the story about you in Bob Jack's book, Divine Appointments. That is an incredible story. And I want to start off by just asking you, what kind of a guy were you back in 1986 on the day that you walked into Bob Jack's house to do that painting job?
Well, Norm, I was, of course, much different than today. That's 19 years ago, really, roughly. And at that time, I was very broken on the inside, but seemed to have it together on the outside as far as wealth and fame went. I had quite a bit of money and was successful in the eyes of the world in that way. But at that time, I had been in the mafia in New York about 4 years. Was running drugs for the Bruno family out of New York City.
Wow.
And that's basically how I was back then, much different again, as I said, than today. On the inside, I was really searching, just searching for a cure. I tell people I had a broken heart, and I was trying to fill it with all these different things, material and women and drugs and whatever I can get in my body to try to fix my pain. Yeah, I rode with the toughest. I partied in New York quite a bit. And rode with different clubs all over the United States, really.
You know, part of that story, Brian, that I remember was you walked into that house and Bob's wife was there, as I recall. And as the story goes, I think you had a .44 Magnum tucked into a holster under your arm and a .38 between your belt and the small of your back. Why were you armed at that time?
It goes along with the profession. You live in fear. You know, you think that somebody's after you all the time and carried a lot of money and was always thinking that there was just somebody around the corner waiting for me.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get them before they'd get me. So I figured the more I carried, the better and the safer I'd be. It's fear. You know, you think you're free, but I lived in bondage.
Yeah. As I understand it also, you had quite a bit of money to the mob and so forth. Do you recall about how much into debt you were to those guys?
Yeah, at the time there, I was into them for a little over $60,000.
Yeah.
The club that I was affiliated with, about $20,000. But all that, just a vicious cycle. Quick as it came in, it went out. There were many people who owed me, and I owed them, and it just kept a rotating door. But yeah, at that time, when I got born again, that's about where it stood.
Now, you walked into that house to do a painting job. There was a sweet woman there, met you at the door and so forth. I guess you looked like a pretty tough character. Did it surprise you that apparently she didn't seem to be too worried about you, as I understand it?
Yeah, no, she received us just with open arms, and I believe that, you know, it's probably the first time that I can recall seeing, you know, Jesus with skin on.
Wow.
Was in her life. I was raised Catholic, and that's very religious. And so I knew about Jesus and knew that he died on the cross and was crucified and all that. And I was an altar boy, and so were my brothers. And But I had never really seen too much of the love of Christ in my life, seen it alive like I did in this woman. So, yeah, that surprised me a little bit. And then I saw the Bible in her home and asked her if she read it or not. And that's when the conversation began, told me she did. And we sat down, and she just began to share knowing Christ personally. And I didn't know him.
Yeah.
I was wide open. She just continued to share with me as we had a cup of coffee. I'd tell people 3 hours later, $25 an hour they were paying us. I said a prayer to invite Christ into my life. You know, realized I was a sinner in need of a Savior.
Wow. That's amazing. I get the impression that you were a pretty tough-looking character at that time. And I have a question about that. My experience through the years has been that some characters that come along that look pretty tough and maybe are living pretty rough and tough lives, that there's a soft heart behind that rather rugged exterior. And sometimes we're afraid or we're put off by them and we're not very hospitable or we shy away. And in her case, she just reached out to you, didn't she? Do you think that sometimes we misread these tough-looking characters and that they're maybe more open than we might think to want to know something about a different way of life, maybe even to know about Jesus?
Well, you know, I think of the scripture talks about the harvest is white and ripe, but the laborers are few. And, yeah, the exterior of an individual, sometimes it's very deceiving.
Yeah.
You know, you see someone, I sat next to a gentleman last night, you know, big professional businessman and the right watch on and the right rings and the whole thing, but just as broken as the individual who's sitting back with the long beard, long hair, and dirty clothes and on the street, they're broken.
Yeah.
It's just all a big front. The tattoos and the whole show is just a mask to hide what's really happening inside.
Mm-hmm.
And that is definitely true, that I believe that the church is asleep in the light.
Hmm.
And they don't have the eyes to see. They don't see in the spirit. They walk in the flesh. And if you'll just open your eyes and see, you'll see the harvest.
Yeah.
It's truly plentiful. I minister to on the streets still, and, you know, you see the most roughest, toughest, I call them punks that you can meet. Really, they're just, for the most part, they're pretty much harmless when you come at them with the love of Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
Or stand up in front of them and take none of their nonsense and show them that, hey, listen, I love you.
Wow.
No matter what you look like, doesn't matter what color your skin is, that's irrelevant to me. It's the love of Jesus that compels me to share with you.
Yeah.
I've never had anyone, really, that I can say totally shut me down.
Really?
You know, anybody I've walked up to share with, from the most roughest, toughest individual right down to, you know, a little old lady, I've never had anyone really shut me down. Because, I mean, you're just coming to him with Jesus.
Yeah.
If they don't want him, they've clearly told me, listen, I'm not interested. I say, well, that's a choice you make, life or death.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, he loves you, and that's why I'm coming to you. So to answer that question, it took a while to get around it. There's no question about it. The outside appearance is just a mask. It's just a disguise.
Yeah. We're not called to close a transaction necessarily anyway, are we? I mean, sometimes we're just one link in the chain that God is using to bring somebody to himself. Even a little rejection is not necessarily a failure on our part, is it?
No, rejection is, you know, never a failure. If it is, I'm surely the greatest failure of them all. I've been rejected more so now than ever.
Wow.
And as the way people are today, they're very closed. Or if they are open, they're living in this fairy tale land because they go to church on Sunday, or they sing in the choir, or, you know, preach behind a pulpit, that they're Christian. They already are. So I get a tremendous amount of rejection, more so of them than I do even the complete total heathen. The heathen is open more than the religious folk. You know, I think of religious folks like the ones who crucified Christ, you know?
Yeah, right.
It wasn't a sinner who crucified him. It was the Pharisees. It was the religious crowd. And down here where I'm located now in the South, it's just a ball of confusion. It's a ball of religion. So there's a tremendous amount of rejection. And I refuse to lower, you know, the standard that God has and operate with what I call now a cheap grace. I could have prayed with probably several thousand people in the last 2 years here to invite Christ in their life, but it's a little more than that, you know. It's a lot more than that. Yeah, I think Paris Reedhead said it best. He says, you know, the church today just tells you, hey, they're going to put a couple springs on your wagon and make life a little better for you. But there's more to it than that. As I'm reading a book right now by Stu Webber called Spirit Warriors.
Oh, good book, yeah.
And he says, hey, you know, you better endure hardship as a good soldier. So rejection is really good if you're a soldier. Because, you know, they rejected Christ. You know, there's only 12 people he discipled. And after he fed those 5,000, where did they go?
Yeah.
They followed him, all right, from a distance.
Because
he didn't have any more food to feed him with. And, you know, I look back at that and say, hey, after those lepers, he healed 10. Where did nine go?
Yeah, that's right. Only one.
Away. Only one followed him.
That's
and
right.
That's how it is I see today. Norm, I don't know you, never met you, but I believe we're in the last of the last days, and I see the crowd will follow him from a distance, and they all want to believe in him. But to truly surrender and yield your body and the members of your body to him as a living sacrifice, I don't see it today. And that's not to put myself there. I've got a long way to go. But I endeavor to be more like Christ every day, you know?
You know, Brian, we're very much on the same wavelength. One of the purposes of our ministry, Compassion Radio, is to, and I'll just use the expression I used yesterday in talking with Bob about this, is to stimulate, to try to help Christians to get up off their rear ends and to become active in the Lord's service and to see the need, the harvest that needs to be brought in, as you put it, in these last days. There is so much sleepiness in the church in America. We are so comfortable. So we're very much on the same wavelength in trying to stimulate people to realize what commitment to Jesus Christ is all about. I want to come back to this in just a couple of minutes, Brian, because it's such a major part of where your heart is now, and it's where our heart is as a radio ministry. But I want to follow up just a little bit on your story. When you heard the message about Jesus, here you were, this tough guy with a couple of weapons on you. Tell us what it was like when you heard that message and the change that it made in you from a guy associated with a mafia, a drug runner, and all of that. What kind of change took place? How quickly did the change come? What kind of a shock to your system was it to come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Well, it's neat, Norm, the way you say even Lord and Savior. I'll save that one for a little bit, too.
Okay.
It was instantaneous as far as the presence and feeling the Spirit come into me. I sat there. I prayed this prayer with her to realize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior and, you know, I needed to get born again. I needed to be new.
Yeah.
I didn't need to be made better.
Yeah.
The church wants to be made better today. I don't want to be made better. I need to be made new. There's nothing good in me.
Mm.
And I prayed this prayer, and I remember going instantly back to my partner at the time, and I told him, I said, I just prayed to receive Christ.
Wow.
And he looked at me, and he gave this hellish laugh. And it never bothered me before. But instantly, I knew that that laugh was almost demonic.
Wow.
I left within an hour of that decision to give my heart to Christ, and we got in our van, and we drove away.
Yeah.
And Kenny lit up a joint of marijuana, and we began to smoke it. And instantly, I felt the pull on the back of my head, like there was someone else in the vehicle with me.
Mm.
Now, I knew there wasn't, so I wasn't feared, but I felt this tug, like this other presence on the back of my head pulling on me as I began to smoke this joint of marijuana, knowing that this time now this was not right.
Yeah.
But up to that point, I could smoke 10 joints a day and think nothing of it.
Huh.
You know, snort and freebase $800 of cocaine a night or a week and have no problem. So what I tell people, I believe, you know, it was, I mean, I believe I got born again.
Amen.
I believe the Spirit came into me at that time. I didn't make the decision out of, oh, well, I might go to hell. I don't want to go to that bad place. No, I had come to the end of myself and realized that I needed Christ because I had everything else and it was unpleasing and unsatisfying.
Yeah.
So my change was instantly. The next day, this fellow Bob Jacks gave me a Bible. He didn't tell me where to start reading. He just gave me a Bible, gave all my men a Bible.
Hmm.
And I went home that night, and I'll never forget it. I opened up the Word, and I didn't know where to go. And I went I just opened up to the book of Galatians.
At this
point, I was pretty much illiterate. I couldn't read or write well at all.
Really?
And I went to Galatians, and I went right into the fruit of your flesh, which is fornication, adultery, murder, you know, drunkenness. And I'm like, boy, this is me. And it says, and those who practice those things, which means, you know, you practice them, you have affiliation with them, you won't inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. And I had none of that. But I wanted it, you see?
Yeah.
I desired that. That Word became alive to me. I mean, I'd never read the Bible up to this time.
Yeah.
This is the very first time I read the Bible, and I believe the Spirit of Christ, which was in me, just opened my eyes that this is life. And he says, my Word is life to those who find it and health to their flesh. I finally found life.
Yeah.
When we dig passionately into God's Word, we find He's just as passionate about us. We'll be back with more from today's guest, Brian Marcoux, after this.
As we begin the fall season of Compassion Radio programming, I'd like to say thank you for your faithful support of this ministry through the summer months. We still have a deficit from which we need to recover, and we're confident that your faithful support will continue to see us through to a new level of ministry in the months ahead. Your gift today is essential to keeping the program on the air, but more than that, your gift assures our mission partners each month that believers in the West are standing with them as they reach the world for Christ. To support this ministry, just contact us today. Our phone number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And of course, we can be found 24/7 on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. We look forward to hearing from you today.
Thank you for standing with us in this tremendous moment of opportunity. And now, back to the program.
And he says, my word is life to those who find it and health to their flesh. I finally found life.
Yeah.
And so then I just began to get hungry. I just started reading more and then going to a Bible study, and I just couldn't get enough of Christ. So for me, it was like, you know, I don't put myself on the same level of any way degree like a Sergeant York, where when he got born again, and, you know, he never went back to his bottle and his drinking and his boozing and any of that mess. And by the grace of God, I did the same. I just continued to go forward. I had my eyes on Jesus and not on this world. And finally, I found something to satisfy my soul. So when you find that, you've really found it all, right, Norm?
Oh, amen to that. Amen to that.
I think I took a while to answer that question, but I hope I covered it good.
Oh, you did so well. I got tears in my eyes. I'm wiping them from out under my eyes listening to you talk. And I know, Brian, that this experience, it's not in the past. Man, you're reliving it right now, aren't you?
Oh,
you're right back there. That this is what motivates you, and this is what puts that drive in you and in your heart to see the Church of Jesus Christ claim its mandate from the Lord to reach the lost, right? You said you were going to comment on that phrase, Lord and Savior, that I used.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. The pastor where I'm at just got done, you know, preaching, and I had never realized this before, but nowhere in the Bible does it say to make Jesus your Savior and Lord.
Oh.
You know, and that's where the church, today, oh, he's your Savior. Just invite him into your heart, and he'll fix your marriage, and he'll fix your kids, and he'll do this, and he'll bless you, and he'll do all these things. But, you know, you said it, Norm. He's your Lord.
Yes,
and Savior.
He is.
He's not my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my King.
Hmm.
He's my everything. You know, I don't need someone to fix me.
Yeah.
You know, I need someone who's going to take over my life because I can't live it. And that's where it makes a huge difference. The church today is just on this Savior kick. Jesus is your Savior, and just say this prayer, invite him into your heart. And then we want to tell him about Lordship later.
Hmm.
Nowhere does it say, invite him in as your Savior. Not one time. It's Lord. He's Lord of creation, Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea.
Oh, I love that song.
Yes, sir. And if we'll get that and get it right from the beginning, it'll make a tremendous difference. Instead of the church trying to make disciples and wheelbarrow people in and out,
yeah,
you know, you'll just let the Holy Spirit do the work in them, you know? We won't have such a tremendous problem that the church has, and that's trying to keep these quote-unquote converts in the body.
Yeah. Brian, I'd like to just give you a minute or so here to appeal to people who may be listening today, who may be listening to the radio on the cars or on their way to work or wherever on the freeway. And you, as a guy who has had your life radically transformed, I wonder if you'd just initiate an invitation to them to come to know this Lord whom we worship and whom we serve. Would you do that?
Yeah, Norm, I have no idea who's going to hear this broadcast and, you know, who it's all going to reach. But I believe that, you know, as I look at my life, and I know that he's all-powerful and, you know, without using any big words, just keep it simple, he's all in all. He's everything. I had the Corvettes, the Cadillacs, the gold, the rich and the fame, and I know what it's like to be there driving down the freeway or sitting in my home and being empty and naked and miserable, but looking like I've got it together. I challenge them. I challenge each and every one that this Jesus that I serve is alive. I don't know what you've seen in the past. You know, you may have seen what I'm seeing now, and that's a bunch of churchgoers, and maybe your neighbor goes to church and lives just like you live, but I'm here to tell you that the Jesus I serve is alive, and he's got the power and the ability to radically change your life. But more than that, he's got the power to mend and heal your broken heart, and that is probably the greatest miracle that he's done in my life. Not only have I been born again and my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I've got eternal life, and I know that. I don't need anybody to convince me of it. I don't need to read it again. I know that that's what I have. But the greatest miracle was mending of my broken heart. And I know that there's many broken hearts listening to this broadcast right now, that there's many that their lives are totally just a mess, have fallen apart. And I can't tell you that he's going to put all that back together again, but I can tell you that he can put you back together again. And I use a nursery rhyme that says, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall, and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again, but the king could. If you'll just allow the king, Jesus, to come into your life, I know that he's got the power and the ability to put you back together again. Because if he put me back together again, he can put anyone back together again. And you don't come to him because he's going to put you back together again. You come to him because he's worthy.
Hmm.
He's the one who gave his life that you might have life and life more abundantly. And I'd ask you, you know, if you're out there and you're hearing these words, and I know they're penetrating and moving in your heart, I'm not going to ask you just to say a simple prayer. I'm going to ask you to say a prayer from your heart as you're driving or sitting or whatever you're doing, as you're thinking about the words that are coming forth, that you first have to recognize that you're a sinner, that you fall short. And the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none who have not sinned. But you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And if you'll repent, which means turn from your sin and follow Christ and give him your life, yield. When you come to a yield sign today, you'll look up and see it. It means to give the right away. There's no longer you who lives, but Christ wants to live his life in you. If you'll just pick up your cross and follow Christ, you'll truly have all there is to life. You'll want no more. You'll need no more. You'll find everything that'll satisfy your soul. I'd ask you to pray with me and say, Dear Lord, I do believe that you are the Son of God, and I do believe that you died on the cross for me, and I do believe that you rose from the dead, that you conquered sin, and that you conquered death. And I ask you to come into my life, Lord. Change me. Change me, Lord, from the inside out, and create in me a clean heart. Make me new, Lord. Don't make my old any better. There's nothing good in me. I need you, and I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and as my Savior and my soon-coming King. And help me, Lord, to turn from my old nasty ways and to follow you all the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Brian, thank you. And for anyone who's listening who prayed that prayer, and you want to share the fact that you did and are looking for help, just put in a call and we'll give you whatever help we can. We love you and we want to help you on your new walk with Jesus Christ. Brian Marcoux, you are a piece of work, my friend. I love you in the Lord, and I am just so pleased that we were able to connect and that you've been able to share your story and your passion for Christ. And I pray God's blessing upon you and your continuing ministry as you do powerful things for the Lord in his strength, in his power. God bless you, Brian. And thank you for being with us today on Compassion Radio.
You're welcome, Norman. Thank you.
That, my friends, is the power of the gospel to change lives. Our thanks to Brian Marcoux for his incredible testimony and challenge. And our Compassion Radio partners like to take up worthy challenges. You know, if there's anything that's impressed me in these recent days of ministry, it's the fact that God gives us many wonderful opportunities, often cleverly disguised as problems. And sometimes that's all we can see around us, problems. We fail to understand that our difficulties may just be hiding some wonderful opportunities. Problems, sometimes, humanly speaking, are all we can see. Costs constantly on the increase. Generally, fewer people writing to Christian ministries. Limited access to prime radio time. Sure, there are plenty of problems, like life itself. Trials and testings are so daily. But even with all that, there are still those bright, shining rays of golden opportunities, especially as we see what God is doing all over the world. Opportunities to touch even more lives for eternity. That's why your partnership is so important to Compassion Radio. Because it's one of those opportunities to bind our hearts together, you with us. This concern has come about, quite frankly, because of problems. You see, it's been difficult to make adequate ministry decisions without sufficient response from you, our listeners. Maybe you just haven't taken the time to respond because you've been so overwhelmed in your own problems. Well, let us know about them, won't you? We count it a privilege to intercede on your behalf. I'm convinced the future is just as bright as the promises of God. He will not fail. Can we count on you financially during these significant days? Why not send a check, email us, or pick up the phone now while you're thinking about it? God will bless you for it. Your tax-deductible giving, whether large or small, really does make a big difference in helping us remain a strong radio voice here in your area. So thank you in advance for your sacrificial gift. Reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or find us online at CompassionRadio.com. You can give safe and secure right there online at CompassionRadio.com. And that phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll be back with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.